Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I use the Complete Idiot's Guide to the Bible.
Unqualified.
Why can't my kids come into the service? Because we have PG-13 services.
Unqualified.
That has a nice ring to it. Unqualified. I've always felt that way.
It wasn't a compliment.
Junior church has taken over. It's designed for elementary kids or junior higher.
Who doesn't feel unqualified?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Delicious.
Todd, what are you doing?
Apparently, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. This is Wretched Radio. Don't know if you heard or saw a little segment we did here on Wretched Radio about Ellen DeGeneres. That's right. We said something nice about Ellen DeGeneres, like a blind squirrel that finds a knife in the bulb twice a day. Something like that. Ellen DeGeneres encouraged America to be nice. Just because you disagree with somebody doesn't mean you can't at least be pleasant. We affirm that as Christians, right? Does that mean, however, we affirm Ellen DeGeneres? And the answer is wrong. No, it doesn't mean that at all. And yet, based on the responses that we received, the emails that I received suggest the very opposite, that if you even dare to say something, anything positive about somebody with whom you disagree philosophically, well, then you've simply drunk the Kool-Aid. And you have affirmed their stance on every single issue, and you too now are a bad guy. Christian, that ought not to be the way that it is for us. We should not be known as the people who are snarky and mean to everyone just because we disagree. That we can't be pleasant or gasp, even say that person said something right, that does not mean we are selling the farm or ceding the argument. If I were in the debate with Bill Nye, and he said something like, you know, scientists are very smart. Could I say, you're right, Bill, scientists are very smart. Is that acceptable to say, yes, I affirm that statement without saying we affirm everything that Bill Nye believes? And I think the answer is yes. Now, are there times when we need to be thoughtful and considerate and not say anything that might indicate we're giving affirmation to a person's wrong worldview? Of course. But can't we have enough confidence in our argument combined with an actual concern for the people that we are talking to just be polite? Some of the emails that I received said that I had drunk the Kool-Aid. I'm becoming liberal because I said that Ellen DeGeneres said something right. And I even said she's a nice person. And she is a nice person. I'm not besties with Ellen, but I've spent some time with her. I've worked with her a number of times. She is nice. My recollection is she's not the type of person who walks around just gunning at people. Hey, look at that silly woman's purse. Hey, look at that doofus's haircut. She's not like that at all. She's very polite, very pleasant, very nice, very winsome. Does that mean I agree with her progressive views? She's nice. Does that mean that I've drunk the progressive Kool-Aid? No, this morning was watching a video. I don't know what it's called, but you can find it out there on the YouTube machine. And it was very cleverly done. The idea was to do debates amongst people with that have varying views on issues. Can Democrats and Republicans get along? Can Christians and atheists coexist? It was all kinds of social issues. Evolution versus creation. Bringing two sides together to discuss their position. And one of them caught my attention. And the subject matter was about the shape of the earth. There were people, they were mostly chemists and scientists, secular folks, who believed that the earth was round. And then they brought in flat earth people to debate their position to state, no, I think the earth is actually flat. And prior to the coming together of three people versus three people, they asked, what would you like to get out of this? And the round earth secularists, the scientists with all kinds of degrees, said, well, I'd like to see if I can learn something, and if necessary, I'll reconsider my position. And then they asked the flat earth person who professed to be a Christian, what do you hope to get out of this? The answer was, I want to rip them to shreds. Now, of course you want to win an argument, but I would ask you, which one of those responses would you find actually more attractive? Does that mean that the fellow who's the round earther is giving up his position because he just says, I'm willing to learn something? No, it doesn't. And which attitude comes across as strident? The very thing that Paul warns Timothy, this is not the way we should be. We shouldn't be strident people. That doesn't mean we can't ever bang our fist. It doesn't mean that we can't ever proclaim the truth fiercely, defend essential doctrines to the mattresses. But we're supposed to be loving even as we do it. That is how Jesus responded to people. Truth in love. Truth in love. Justin Peters rightly says, if you can't do both, don't do either. Some people said, Ellen DeGeneres was actually lying. She's a complete phony. Okay, well, I don't know. I don't follow her around. I don't even follow her. She just appears in my feed or a video here or there on occasion. What is she being a phony? Some people sent me an email and they said, well, see, Ellen is just lying because she said that she had a nice time with George W. Bush, but he's a rhino. He's kind of a liberal Republican anyway, and he maybe even supports the gay agenda. So it was really birds of a feather. It wasn't that hard for her to be nice to him. Oh, okay. That wasn't the perception progressives had. Nevertheless, some people said, but she won't have Donald Trump on her show. Is that the same thing as not being nice? I mean, she gets to choose who she has on her program and who she doesn't. And if she chooses to not use her platform to forward somebody else's agenda, I don't think that's being mean. And that's being able to state, I think, the very point that she and I am trying to make. You can disagree with somebody and still be polite. You can be nice to somebody who's on the other side of the political aisle without doing something to forward their agenda. The two things don't contradict one another. Question, if you feel that way, do you share Ellen DeGeneres' videos when she's talking about her propaganda and her completely wrong worldview? I suspect not. Does that mean you're being mean to her? No, it just means that you don't want to forward her agenda. That's all. Besides that, talking about Ellen really wasn't the point. The question really was intended to be, how do we do when we talk to one another? Let's forget talking to the pagans, talking to the liberals, talking to the progressives. Just set that aside for a moment. How do we talk to one another? Does the world see our posts? Does the world hear our comments? Do people in the lunchroom hear us talking about other Christians and conclude they love one another? Now, I know there are professing Christians who are complete wackadoodles. I get that. And you want to be careful that you don't somehow affirm their theological position. Nevertheless, if I were seated on an airplane next to a false teacher, would I tell that person I think you're a false teacher? Yeah, actually, I would. Would I turn my shoulder to him and go, can't even look at you. Don't even think about sharing my armrest, Bally. I can be polite and have manners without affirming their wonky theology. Can't we? Can we talk to one another in such a way that we can actually say, look, your end times theology, I'm not with you on that, but we sure can talk about it. We can talk about even issues of gifts. Even the issue of, get ready for this one, continuationism versus cessationism. I'm a full-blown cessationist. You might not be. I hope you won't be mean to me if we ever meet face to face. I hope I won't be mean to you. How do we talk to one another? Now, somebody's anti-Trinitarian. It's an essential issue. Would I make it perfectly crystal clear you are outside of orthodoxy? You are in the rank of heretic? You are hellbound? I hope that I would do that, but even when it's done, I have got to accomplish what Jesus was able to accomplish every single time. Even if you don't feel it coming off of the pages of the Bible, there's no question about it. Even when he was chiding his enemies, which he did fiercely, they never called him a hater. He was able to speak truth in love, and that is the goal. That is the bar, and we don't need to take that message from Ellen DeGeneres because that's exactly what our Savior commands us to do, and that is to love our enemies, pagans or even theological enemies. This is Wretched Radio. When you sponsor a Tomorrow Club for $30 per month in Eastern Europe, you are writing stories like this.
Vova and Maxine, one is 11, another 13, they're brothers. Both of them smoke like crazy, so when they joined Tomorrow Club, they would just make noise and kick other kids around. That winter, the father left the whole family without wood for the furnace, so they could freeze to death, and without food. So the leaders came and actually brought the wood to the family and fixed the things that they were broken in the home. So the boys saw what happened. They got saved, and the change in their attitude and behavior is just immense.
$30 per month, you'll be discipling 30 Eastern European kids in far-flung and very poor villages in Eastern Europe, and so much more. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
60 to 80% of our youth are leaving the nest, flying off to university, and abandoning their faith. Wretched wants to reach these kids with the gospel by distributing 1 million copies of our evangelistic resource, What Time is Purple, on university campuses around the country. If you are a ministry or a church group, we'd love to send you a whole bunch of copies. Just contact Al Yerkes, al@wretched.org, for more information. If you want to give out What Time is Purple on your own, visit wretched.org/purple for free copies. You know, it's only with your support of Wretched that we can do things like this. If you're already supporting Wretched, thank you very much. Please know we are very grateful. And if you're not, would you consider giving a tax-deductible gift to Wretched on a monthly basis? Go to wretched.org/donate for details on becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. And to give out copies of our evangelistic booklet, What Time is Purple, go to wretched.org/purple, and let's reach millennials together.
Forget the power of cheese, the power of the ultrasound.
Darlene came to our clinic. She's accompanied by her boyfriend. She just came from Planned Parenthood, but they were unable to provide an ultrasound because they charged for them, and she probably didn't have the money. When she's in the counseling room, apart from her boyfriend, she says that the relationship with the baby's father was probably going to end anyway. So she wanted to abort. I presented the gospel. She politely declined the gospel. We gave her an ultrasound, and she walked out the door, still abortion-minded, with the ultrasound picture in hand. We made another call for her a couple days later, and she said, you know, I can't come in, but do you know where I can get some prenatal vitamins? And she had chose life.
One ultrasound, $28. $28, one life. How many ultrasounds could you provide through preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Sometimes simple is best. The Mission Ball is simply a soccer ball covered with biblical text, a thorough long gospel presentation, and an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim Christ. With your support, the Mission Ball can get into the hands of more lost and dying souls. Go to themissionball.org. That's themissionball.org.
Names of God. One name the Bible gives to God is the Greek word despotes, which means absolute ruler. Despotes is related to the English word despot. As absolute ruler, God has ownership rights over all mankind. Yet our Master and Lord Jesus Christ became a man, suffered and died on the cross for his people. The absolute ruler is also our example of ultimate humility. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What a world, what a world. This is Wretched Radio. There you are. You're working on a project at home. It involves construction, wood, hammers, and nails. You are trying to drive a nail through a 2x4. Your attention wanes. You whack your finger with the hammer. Yelping, that's right, yelping in pain. I, your friend, come along and say, well, my friend, you're hurting because you hit your finger with a hammer. Here's what you need to do. Keep hitting it. Don't worry, the pain will go away. In fact, hit it harder. You'll feel better. You would say, that's cruel. That is a lie, and that is cruel, and that is the world. The world tells us to do things, and then when we suffer the consequences of their bad advice, they tell us to just keep on doing it. Isn't that what they tell our children when it comes to issues of intimacy? You did that thing as a 14-year-old, and you feel really, really bad about it. Yeah, we get that. So here's what you need to do. Just keep doing it. And that feeling will go away. Oh, that's lovely advice, isn't it? Case in point, headline from MSN. The Center for Disease Control has a new study out on sexually transmitted diseases. Here's the headline. See if you can identify what is wrong with this title. America's sexually transmitted disease rates are out of control. Is that true? Well, on the surface it is, but if you dig a little deeper, the diseases aren't out of control. The diseases aren't just magically jumping from one human to the next. They have to actually be, you know, transmitted sexually. Hence the title, Sexually Transmitted Diseases. It's not the diseases that are out of control. It's not the statistics that are out of control. It's people who are out of control. CDC released a report on stats from 2018. Indicate historic rates of chlamydia and the worst rates of syphilis and gonorrhea since 1991. Fifth year in a row, STIs. STIs, I thought they were STDs.
They're infections, they're not diseases, Todd.
Don't want to use
disease
that bad
word.
Disease
is such a dirty word.
Means I can go to the pharmacy and just get some pills for it. Hey, they've hit all-time highs. Nice. 2018, the CDC reports, lagging behind about a year. All three of the most commonly reported STDs saw an increase. 580,000 reports of gonorrhea in 2018. That's up 5% since 2017. The worst year since 1991. What's changing here? Is it the reporting mechanisms? No, I don't think that could possibly be it. Is it, I don't know, behavior? Yes, it's that. But is it the worldview that is promoting that behavior? And didn't we come out of a high period for STDs after the era of free love and free sex? And now we have returned to that era, apparently going back on the wrong side of history. Nevertheless, it seems that it is the worldview that promotes behavior that gives a negative consequence. Cases have surged by a staggering 63% since 2014. This particular article asks the questions, why are these rates going up? Article, quote, that's the million-dollar question. Oh, pick me. I know. I'm a Christian and I don't know nothing, but I got some ideas how you could stop the sexually transmitted disease rate. Maybe, I don't know, Don't do the behavior that actually causes it. I know that's draconian. There are several factors at play. One issue is that the immense stigma surrounding these diseases prevents people from getting tested, getting treated, and disclosing infections to partners. So they don't go and they keep on transmitting them. Oh, so it's ignorance. And yet, something tells me that is not accurate because the reporting numbers are going up. So these are being reported. They are being discovered. Those numbers are going up. And yet, the hunch is that people aren't talking about it because they don't know they got it. I guess both could coincide. I guess. Young people, along with, here it comes, gay and bisexual men are using condoms less reliably. All righty then. So we need more ads about that, do we? Is there anybody really in this country who isn't aware of the risk? Anybody? Really? We haven't educated everybody? Really? Here is a shocking statistic that is separate that I think should trouble us, Mom and Dad. An increase in unprotected oral behavior among young people may also be a factor. We've read other reports here on Wretched that indicate that very thing. The pressure that young girls feel from a porn-saturated teenage society has indeed led to that. Back to our article, the uptick in heterosexual syphilis transmission seems closely tied to recent drug use epidemics. So now we've got ourselves another problem. We've got ourselves high-risk behavior and the use of needles. Canada, I believe, came up with a solution. We'll stop that by distributing free needles so that they can inject themselves without cause of concern of getting a disease. Well, I guess that's one way to approach it. How's about, I don't know, if the stove is hot and it burns your hand when you touch it, we'll give you an oven mitt. That's one way. Or you could tell people, don't touch the stove, silly rabbit. Now, here's my favorite part. What can we do to curb rates of sexually transmitted infections? Answer, just keep hitting your thumb with the hammer. Faster, harder, it'll stop hurting. Here's what the experts say. Use condoms. There it is right there. There it is. So there you go. Just keep doing the behavior. Don't worry about the risks. Just keep on doing it. Talk to your partners about past and present testing. Disclose your diagnosis. Take your antibiotics as prescribed. I'm just looking for the part that talks about not doing that behavior with mostly strangers. Don't shame friends, family, or partners for having STDs or being at high risk of getting them. Rather, encourage them. Get tested. Get treated. Keep being frisky. Act like the dog that your science class tells you that you are anyway. Be honest when your doctor asks for a complete sexual history, even if you're not there to discuss those issues. Ask your local government, you know, the experts, our parents, doctors, scientists, and the government. Ask the government what it's doing to support the health of at-risk populations. Hello, at-risk, at-risk, at-risk. You keep hitting your thumb with the hammer. You're at risk. So keep hitting your thumb. Put some sort of metal device on your thumb.
Wear thicker work gloves.
Joey, now you're getting with the program here. You, my friend, could be on the government dole. Ask your local government what it's doing, making sure that teens, members of the LGBTQ plus community, drug users, and people living in poverty have reliable access to comprehensive medical care is the best way to keep infections in check. No, actually, it's not the best way. Don't do the behavior is the best way. Anyone can get an STD, but by being smart about how we act frisky and making sure everyone in the country has easy access to testing and treatment, we can keep sexually transmitted diseases from turning into dangerous epidemics. You mean it's not yet? What? What point do we have to hit here? This is just absolutely staggering. This is yet one of you could create a laundry list of issues that this is precisely what the world does. We tell you how to behave. We tell you how to live. It's all predicated on lies, not the truth, nothing biblical. In fact, if it's anti-biblical, that's even better. Do that. Live like that. Treat each other that way. Believe this way. Think on these thoughts. And then, when we end up feeling rotten because of the lying advice that we receive from the world, and we feel terrible, what does the world tell us to do? Just do it more better. Hey, Charlie Brown, I'll hold the football for you. No, not falling for that one. Every time you just keep pulling the football out from underneath me. No. Just try it again. And this time, I'm still going to pull out the football. But it's just going to be a different result. Trust me. The Wicked Witch of the West was not this cruel. The world system and the devil who writes these lies is. This is Wretched Radio.
Christians are called to make disciples, but where do we start? Hearts for the Lost assists local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They'll fly out to your church to put on an evangelism seminar and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com.
Important dates in Christian history. 325 AD. The Council of Nicaea was called to address debates perplexing the church, primarily concerning the nature of Jesus. The Nicene Creed was drafted and is still one of the standards of orthodoxy among Christians. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And the world keeps on a-hurtin'. This is Wretched Radio, another sign our world, having bought the lies of the world system and the devil, are hurting. So too are a lot of Christians. This is not to suggest that somebody who is depressed, they are feeling anxious, who professes to be a Christian, isn't one. But even the Christian who is depressed is most likely, if not definitively, every single time, simply not believing the truth. That is what is going on in the heart and mind of the person who is anxious or depressed or even suicidal. Listening to lies versus the truth. Because if our brains were completely guided by God's truth, well, there could be some organic reasons for it, of course, but God isn't depressed. And if we're thinking totally like him, we won't be either. The world and Christians are hurting. Let's see if we can learn a lesson from the world, another sign, literally, that people, they are suffering a great deal of emotional pain. About a week ago, as I went over to Cherokee County, lovely part of Atlanta, Georgia, lovely part of Georgia, lovely part of the country, as I pulled into the high school for an event that happened to be on suicide, there were signs in the driveway as you pulled into the school. You are loved, you are worthy, those types of things. And I thought, well, isn't that fascinating? I met a woman who is the former principal of the school, who has a new assignment to help people who are depressed. And so they believe that they've come up with what they are calling a holistic approach to help kids not be so depressed and suicidal. Sadly, that holistic approach doesn't include the most important aspect of humanity, and that is the spiritual side. Nevertheless, I thought, well, isn't this interesting? The world has identified the problem. What is their solution? And the answer is, and this is not necessarily pejorative, platitudes. Headline from the Washington Post. This mom made a few, quote, don't give up, end quote, signs and planted them in her neighborhood. Soon the signs went global. And they have indeed. I believe the woman who's printed up almost 300,000 signs. Why? She lost a loved one, an older brother, to suicide. She was seeing the suicide rate in our country. Six teenagers in her Oregon district had died in a one-year period. And another six had recently attempted suicide in a span of 2 weeks. So she said, what can I do? The American Medical Association Journal confirmed suicide rates in their teens and young 20s, 18-year high in 2017, with a particular spike among teenage boys. And so she came up with signs. She printed them up with the help of a friend, drove them around her neighborhood and said, would you put one of these in your yard? Well, it took off like wildfire, and now people are putting these encouraging signs all over the country. Let's read some of the signs and ask a couple of questions. What does this tell us about our world? Why is this sign being reprinted? Why is this particular sign resonating with people? And secondly, can a sign make those statements? Does it have the worldview to support them? Is it accurate? Here are the signs. One, you matter. You matter. I think that's one of the ones that I saw at the high school. You matter. Does the secular, I don't know anything about this, Mom, but can a sign that does not have any biblical support or any authority with a Bible verse behind it, can it make the claim, you matter? Now, I fear that it can't, because that is not what evolution teaches us. In fact, evolution, when you boil it all down, says you don't matter. You're just no different than a glop of slime. You're just maybe a little luckier, whatever that happens to be, but you don't matter according to an evolutionary worldview. Can this be supported with a Christian worldview? And the answer is absolutely it can, but only with a Christian worldview. A secular worldview cannot make such a claim. In fact, they're lying when they say you matter from their worldview. But the truth of the matter is God knits people together in their mother's womb. They are fearfully, they are wonderfully made. They are owned by the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Every molecule is owned by this God. And God does not have possessions that he does not consider valuable to some degree. So we can state human beings more than anything else on the planet matter to God. Even if a family abandons a person who is depressed, and I don't think that really ever happens in totality, nevertheless, even if a family totally gives up and says you don't matter and there is nobody on the planet who says you matter or believes that you matter, God does. God made people to save people, Ephesians 2, that they might step into the works that he has prepared for them. People matter to God, and that's really the only entity that matters, isn't it? Why does this speak to people? Why this message, you matter? Well, clearly, people must think they don't. Where does that come from? We have been telling them now via self-esteem mantras that, oh, not only do you matter, you're the most amazing person on the planet. All of you are the most amazing person on the planet, which is self-contradictory. Nevertheless, hasn't the self-esteem movement told people, you matter, you matter, you matter, you matter, you matter, love yourself, love yourself, love yourself, because you're so lovable? That message has been preached. Why isn't it sticking? Because it has no authority, it has no power. And by comparison, I don't matter, because no matter how good I look in my selfie that I post on my Facebook, it doesn't look as good as somebody else's selfie. My going out to dinner isn't as fancy a restaurant as their dinner. My party didn't serve the food that they serve. My guests aren't having as much fun as those guests had. My car isn't as fancy. My house, my clothes, my hair. It doesn't compare to somebody. So what do I conclude? I don't matter. I'm a nothing. I'm a loser. And so the world, again, telling you how to think, telling you how to believe, leads to depression. And then what do they tell you? The very same lie that got you into the hot water in the first place. Only the Bible can tell people you matter to God. ultimately, if you are in Christ, you are beloved. You don't just met. You're loved by God. You're loved by God. And therefore, who cares what the servants think when the king says, you're mine and I love you? It's only the Christian worldview that can bring that hope. I can't help but wonder, where's the church signs, huh? Why? I don't know anything about this woman. I really don't. This isn't to be critical of her. But this is clearly a secular movement here. Maybe she professes to be a believer. I don't know. But none of these signs indicate that they are Christian. Therefore, they're just platitudes. Says who should be the question that the person walking or driving by the sign asks. Really, I matter? Says who? Somebody who printed a sign? Deepak Chopra? Oprah? When? Who says I matter? To whom? And if another Stardust member says that I matter, what value does that have? So somebody else who's lucky primordial ooze says that I matter. Does that even count? If I'm being told I matter by the same old slime that I am? And so the church should be the ones that are addressing this. How many more, signs do we need to tell us, let's wake up, church? The world is depressed. The world is hurting here. Come on, where are our signs? Where are our efforts? From the movement of the sign-making woman, the teacher in Oregon, you are worthy of love, says one of the signs. You are worthy of love. Can the world say that? No, same reason that they can't say you matter. People, worthy of love. What makes somebody worthy of love? And what kind of love is that? It's a utilitarian love. You are worthy of love only because you do stuff that the world finds beneficial. But trust me, read the tabloids. As soon as you do not offer them something that amuses or helps them, then they'll mock you for their purposes. You are worthy of love according to whom? Says who is the question. Now, here's the Christian message, which is counterintuitive. Nevertheless, this is our message. You're not worthy of love. Boing! How's that supposed to be encouraging? Hold on. You're not worthy of love, but God loves you anyway. That is a more astounding love. That even though you're not lovable, you are still loved. And that is a love, by the way, that is more secure, because the very second that you stop doing the thing that makes you so lovable, that would mean that the world and God stops loving you. But that's not the way it works. God loves because he is love. God loves you because he is that way. Not because you are so special, but because he is so amazingly loving. And that is an unchanging, secure love. That is the message that only the church can bring. The world, it cannot. Where is the church? Why aren't our signs and our messages being heard by a world that is hurting? This is Wretched Radio.
Thank you for joining us today. Always appreciate when you spend part of your day with Wretched Radio. Can we talk prison initiative? You see, within 3 years of release, almost two-thirds of released prisoners are rearrested. And within 5 years of release, that number goes up to about three-quarters of released prisoners back in jail. We think those numbers are simply too high, and we think the gospel will help. We would very much like to give away our gospel booklet, Don't Stub Your Toe, to prison ministries so they can get them inside to the prisoners. Can you help? Wretched.org/donate if you're able. Wretched.org/donate. If you're a prison ministry and you would be interested in handing out Don't Stub Your Toe, contact Al, please. It's very easy. Al@wretched.org. Al@wretched.org. A big thank you to our gospel partners. It's their generosity that makes this possible. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Wretched's Millennial Initiative is on a roll. We want to reach this generation with a new TV show aimed directly at millennials, Road Trip to Truth. John Fabares will be hosting Wretched's next TV series, 26 episodes long, that goes right into the lion's den, secular university campuses. This program will reach millions of millennials with the gospel. Millions.
Now, it's only because of your support of Wretched that allows us to do what we do every single day. So if you are already supporting Wretched, we are extremely grateful. Thank you very much. If you are not supporting Wretched, would you consider it? Think about giving a tax-deductible gift to Wretched on a monthly basis. Not only would you help us keep the lights on, but you'd help us reach this lost generation. Visit wretched.org/donate to become a Wretched monthly gospel partner. And join us on our road trip to truth. wretched.org/donate.
Couldn't say it any better than Michael Woolworth from Bible League International.
The world will drill wells and provide food and shelter. Those are very important causes. Yes. We smile favorably upon those. But getting God's word to believers half a world away, people you won't meet this side of eternity, that's on us as God's people.
Ain't nothing wrong with digging a well, but it is only the Christian church that can provide living water. Bible League International for decades, delivering Bibles to believers. Believers who have made a profession of faith, believers who have studied the basics of the Christian faith, are then given living water in the Word, a Bible. For just $5 per Bible, you could deliver a Bible to a believer overseas through Bible League International. Might it be possible you could send, say, 6 per month? Please call Bible League at 1-800-YES-WORD.
Books of the Bible. The book of Judges covers Israel's history from the death of Joshua to just before the reign of King Saul. The reoccurring phrase is, "And everyone did what was right in their own eyes." When Israel rebelled, God allowed their enemies to triumph. But when Israel cried out to God, He raised up a deliverer. God is faithful, even when His people are not. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And if you think the world is cruel, this is Wretched Radio. The world identifying a problem. The world is depressed because they've believed the lies that the world has pitched to them. They've recognized the problem. They offer platitudes to solve the problem. And in the meantime, the church, who actually knows the reason for the problem and knows the solution to the problem, pretty mum, pretty silent, doesn't appear to be competing as well as the world is. Now, make no mistake about it, there is good work going on inside of the Christian church. The Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, they concluded their annual conference at Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee, Adrian Rogers Place. Miss that fellow. Miss that voice. Miss his preaching. Nevertheless, they held a conference there, sold out, talking about the issue of anxiety, depression, suicide, the plague that is sweeping the globe in staggeringly regressive numbers. People are depressed and taking their own lives. There are some people who are responding. I would encourage your church, if you are not already a part of biblical counseling, would encourage you, check out the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, ACBC. They're on a highway to, I don't know where they're actually located. Maybe is it down in Florida, which is maybe, where is the HQ for Association of Certified Biblical Counselors? ACBC, start getting plugged in. Start training the sheep to counsel other sheep, to help them with their struggles. There are good books being written. There are some helpful seminars that are taking place. And yet it seems that we're mostly silent in letting the world know, we can tell you why you're feeling so blue. And we can give you a cure for your malady, because the Bible offers that for all of life and godliness. The God of all hope promises that you can have hope. You can have life abundantly, not health and wealth silliness, but a life that says, no matter what befalls me, I will endure. I can make it because my suffering has purpose. All right, hold on. Let's see if I've got a couple of... Yeah, here you go. Not one, but two grace gems. The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. This is from Samuel Davies. This is a grace gem. Gracegems.org. You can get them sent to your inbox for free every single day. The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Just ponder that. Stop. Ponder that. replace the thoughts of chaos. Everything is out of control. My world is topsy-turvy. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. It's under control, saint. The captain of your destiny has his hands firmly on the wheel. He's already determined where everything is going to go, and he's going to get it there. The Lord reigns. And what's the response? Let the earth be glad. When you know that the Lord reigns, and you know that he is good, and that he is omnipotent, and that he is omniscient, the response, we're glad. Whew, I'm glad. All contingent events are at his disposal and under his sovereign control. The smallest things are not beneath the notice of his providence, and the greatest are not above it. Those diseases and misfortunes which seem to happen by chance are commissioned by the Lord of all. And those which result evidently from natural causes are sent by his almighty will. He says to one, go, and it goes, and to another, come, and it comes. He orders the devastations. He does not order sin, but he uses sin sinlessly. He orders the devastations that are made by the most raging elements. If flames lay our houses in ashes, they are kindled by his breath. Oh, I can hear so much of the evangelical world just squawk at that. No! No way, man! God wouldn't let or cause somebody's house to be burned down. Really? Then what is he in control of? If hurricanes sweep through our land and carry desolation along with them, they but perform his sovereign will and can do nothing beyond it. His hand hurls the lightning bolt and directs it where to strike. An arrow or a bullet shot at a venture in the heat of battle is carried to its mark by divine direction. How wretched a world this would be were it not under the wise management of divine providence. If chance or blind fate were its rulers, what desolation would crowd upon us every moment. We'd be crushed in the ruins of a fallen world. But God reigns. Let the earth be glad. We can explain the purpose to suffering. It comes from God's good hand. You say it's hard. Yeah, it is. It is hard. But there's a lot of things that are hard that result in something beneficial. Don't we marvel at the one who sits down at a keyboard and makes it sing? You think that was easy? It was hard. Lessons and sitting there and scales and practicing and recitals. It's hard, but the benefit, the fruit of that hardness is sweet. And the same thing is true for us as Christians. Hard thing that happens to you, whatever it is, from God's good hand, can, it may not if we remain like Pharaoh, hard-hearted, but it can produce sweet fruit. A mom in Oregon, recognizing that people are hurting, she's made some signs that people can post on their yards that are supposed to help people. Now, I'm not saying that all of them are wrong per se, that there is some truth to them. There can be a grain here or there, but it is only by blind chance, if you believe in such a thing, that they just happen to come across something that's pseudo-Christian and put it up on a sign. You are worthy of love. Now, that's not biblical. We're not worthy of love, but we're loved anyway. You matter, not according to an evolutionary worldview, but according to Christianity, you do. You matter to God and to God's people, by the way. Don't forget that. You matter to God's people. If social media has told you you are a loser, you are a flunky, you are not famous, you are not popular, you're a member of a much bigger community than anything Mark Zuckerberg could ever create. You're a member of the family of God, past, present, and future. The church militant and the church triumphant. You're a member of that, and you matter to those people. You are loved by those people. That's why you need to be in a local church to get loved on by people, so you can love on people. That is a tremendous way to deal with your depression, by the way, is to start loving your neighbor as yourself, to love your neighbor as much as you love. The high watermark for love is how much we love ourselves. Turn your eyes off of yourself. Start turning them toward other people, because that is what we're commanded to do. And anytime that we are obedient, joy comes from that. So start loving people. Get plugged into your local church. Start serving, and you're going to have joy from that. But I don't like those people. Love them anyway. You're not lovable either. Neither am I. We're to love them. They're to love us. We are to model Jesus' love that he has bestowed on each one of us. Here's another one of the signs that are being planted in people's front yards. You are enough. You are enough. It's staggering to me that they would put up a sign like that. You are enough. When the message that we teach to the kids in school, even as they drive by this sign on the way to the school, it says, you're just not enough. You're amazing. And then these poor kids, they don't get an A. They don't become the quarterback. They don't get the lead in the play. And now we have to tell them, well, you're enough. Oh, the world and how we contradict one our messages and our mantras. The signs, one day at a time. I don't know, can that really help somebody who's feeling blue? No, it's practical advice. In fact, it's somewhat biblical. It's if you will, God's manna to people. It's just enough for the day. God doesn't give you enough strength for tomorrow because you don't need it for tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worries of its own. Just deal with today. So it's biblical in that sense, but as a standalone, one day at a time, people are fully aware that the calendar is full of days and that there's more of them to come. What was God trying to teach the Jews in the wilderness? So we can teach this message one day at a time, but only because God gives us enough strength in the moment to get through these days, and there's no sense in fretting about tomorrow. God provided just enough food every single day. They'd go out and check. Yep, it's there. Some tried to hoard it. That resulted in death. Trust me. Pup, there it is. Hey, right before the Sabbath, take enough for 2 days because you're not going to be going out to do that work on the Sabbath. Trust me. I provide enough for the day. And that is what you and I need to start doing. Trusting God enough for the day. Getting into, if you will, quote, a manna rhythm. His precious promises, they are true, and he upholds them every single day, and that is enough. You and I can say, quote, one day at a time, because we have the Bible to support it. The world can't. Church, let's say we get into the game and start letting the world know that there is a place for hope. There is a person who is hope. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.